get it over in here.
It comes out of the computer room sometimes. It depends.
Everybody's here, huh?
Probably back there.
Max, I just downloaded mine.
The agenda's over there. I know, but I was looking for something. I'll just put this sucker away.
See if it shows up.
I have tethering on my phone. Do you want to look something?
No, I've got. It's got the. It's fully wired. I just.
Yes.
Okay, about that. We should start at this 9 o'clock. We call the meeting to order. Let's get a roll call.
Cohort.
Present.
Carter.
Present.
Alex.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Richards.
Okay, we need approval of the of the agenda.
Go move.
Any discussion, Max? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any public participation? Okay.
Need none, hear none.
Need approval of the minutes for June 7th, 2013.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the next thing is the county township motor fuel tax claims for June 2013 and July 2013.
Second. Go ahead.
Okay, well, it's open for any
discussion. Jay, second.
It's open for any discussion. Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we'll go into the county engineer's report.
I distributed the bid tab from our project that was bid on August 7th at the last county board meeting in July. I was given the authority to award the project, but I always like to bring the bid tab in after that so that you guys can see what's going on in the construction world.
Nice
bid from Newell. Bridges have been pretty good lately because we've got a number of players in the industry. Even that Schmidt Construction from over by Decatur come over and bid on this one. Newell's was low. We expect to get this project started in the next month or so and have it done before the winter hits us here yet this year. So we will move ahead with that project in Colfax Township. Any questions on the bid tab or anything?
Max,
I'd like to comment that I've worked with Newell before and I like them. They're good contractors.
Yeah.
So it's got a great bid.
They don't have the best equipment in the world, but they're good to work with.
It works.
If they got a 55-gallon drum of oil out there, they do a pretty good job, so that's what they need.
Maybe they'll be able to do a little better.
Sounds like they need diapers for their equipment.
Yeah. I understand that.
They're good. We like them.
Is there any reason why that bid is so much more than the other bids?
Well, it's really only a $10,000 spread to the next lowest bidder. Newell's was hungry for the project because they only have one other project yet to complete this fall. These smaller precast, pre-stressed deck beam bridges are kind of their little niche. They do them very well. They're set up for it. They don't typically get projects where we build the big steel beam, poured deck, type of projects, but these are what their kind of their bread and butter is. Without Newell's in the industry, if Newell's would not have taken out bids on this project. O'Neill Brothers would have been $20,000 higher. Schmidt would have been $20,000 higher. Yeah. They keep everybody on
competition.
Because we had a year, one year, where Newell's, there was a rumor they were going out of business. They weren't pulling plans, and boy, did all the prices go through the roof around here. It was something.
You better watch his back.
Okay, Diane.
Well, I was going to say, it looks to me just like a quick peek here that a big part of their difference is the steel piles to furnish and drive. So maybe they have some in the yard there somewhere.
Yeah, they may very well.
Sometimes they reuse things, which is nice.
Right, right.
Okay, Al.
Thanks. I was looking at the proposed approved engineer's estimate of $5,000 on the steel versus the $4,000 that Newell came in. But if you look at the others, such a variation that why O'Neill would need to be so much higher when everyone else is within $1,000. I'm just curious.
On which number?
The test pile steel number 14. The engineer's estimate is $5,000. Newell came in at $4,000. O'Neill came in at $7,700.
Well, that's one of the very first things. You take out the bridge and you drive the test pile. So that's one of the first things that puts money in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So they like to get that early money with removal, test pile.
Got it.
Then they get a pay estimate, and then they got some capital and some money to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Any more discussion?
Yeah, look at Stark's removal price was $40,000.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, from Stark versus 17.
Got way out of the whack there. Yeah.
Stark's got a lot of work. I mean, they got the big bridge over at Mojave.
Mm-hmm.
This is not their gig. Really.
As Diane said, you know, their your equipment now. I know that Newell is using mules, while Stark is using the big heavy equipment. So I guess that's the difference, isn't it?
Could very well be.
Say that.
And Newell's literally, they have four people working for them. That's their entire crew. You know, it's Tim and a cousin and a couple of guys that they hire, and they build all their bridges with four guys.
I understand
it's
more than you know.
Yeah.
They're just great to work with. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Seeing
we don't need any.
Need approval.
No, we already got it. It's just for informational purposes. Next item on the discussion is the Highway Federal Ag matching budget discussion, and there's a number of documents that I put into your budget or your agenda packet pertaining to this item. I guess the first one to look at, because they're I don't ever know exactly what order they'll be in the packet, is this one that shows the actual levy history. I had a conversation with Deb a couple weeks ago to talk about the possibility of getting some money back into this levy, and she did put together this spreadsheet that shows what the history has been for this levy over the years, beginning with 1991 through the present. And I know some, very few of you were probably on the board in 2002, may remember when the Highway Federal match was brought down to the lowest level to keep it an active fund. But Deb, do you have any background history information that you'd like to add to that?
Well, that decision was made in November of 2001 when the budget was adopted. That was... the decision was made in November of 2000 that the public health levy would be capped at 3%, even though, and that was the fourth year under tax cap that was achieved the levy. So the decision to cap the public health levy at 3%, even though the voters had approved 10 cents, was the final capping of the public health levy. That was done by an outgoing board that was Republican, and the following November, the first year of a board that was Democrat, the decision was made to put money back into public health by cutting their budget.
Okay. So you'll see down there at the bottom, she just ran the number. If it had remained at $125,000 with natural growth, including P detailed calculations, you know, we'd be at $223,000 roughly in that budget line item for FY 2014. So if you want to go back in your packet, and we'll just kind of walk through the pages as they're put together in here. The first one is the actual 605 ILCS, which is the state statute that says what this budget can be used for. And you can see there it can be used for expenses for engineering right-of-way, utility relocations, and construction or maintenance of highways in the federal aid network or the county highway network. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on the federal aid system, even though it's called federal aid match. It can also just be on a county road, although all of our county roads are on the federal aid system, so we wouldn't have any discrepancy there. And the maximum levy there, as you see, is 0.05 of the value of all taxable property within the county. So just for some discussion purposes, I've got a spreadsheet on the next page that shows basically if we don't have money to match federal aid projects from the federal aid matching budget, we have to use motor fuel tax, because our county highway fund is, as you well know, is used for paying salaries, operations, buying equipment, having the lights on, everything that goes into just doing our day-to-day business. So there is no money available through the county highway fund with which to build roads or maintain roads. It's all goes into personnel and services. and you'll see that our motor fuel tax revenue from 2004 through 2015 is basically flat. You'll see in 2010, with the Illinois Jobs Now revenue coming in, they guaranteed $100 million a year to locals to be put into the motor fuel tax for each county. We're receiving about $357,000 a year from that $100 million that they're allocating to locals every year. But that money, the last payment of that money comes in 2014. So beyond that, you'll see our total revenues in our motor fuel tax fund is going to drop significantly down to about $2.4 million. And if you look at our motor fuel tax budget, we basically, between engineering services, maintenance, and equipment rental, we spend about $1.2 million a year. So that really leaves about $1.2 million a year in MFT with which to build roads, which doesn't go very far. I mean, a simple mill and overlay is about $250,000 a mile. So you'll see 4 to 5 miles a year. Divide that into 200 miles of road. That's 40 or 50 year turnaround on our roads, which doesn't do us very well.
I have a question, Jeff, and I could be just overlooking something. It looks like we, before the Illinois jobs money, we had decent revenue, and then, of course, after that, it's going to go down. What changed?
A number of things,
you know,
changed.
I'm thinking, yeah. You know, how we could build that back up to where it was before.
Well, this is money, you know, 19 cents at the pump. Okay. So that's how we get this money, through a formula, through the state. So it's a number of things. It's the price of fuel went way up. People quit driving as much. There's been a lot of money siphoned off the top that didn't used to be. You know, the state gets their money, and all these other things come off, and then our share gets down to the locals. And by the time our share got down to the locals, which you can kind of, if you want to look at the next sheet, you'll see that the actual motor fuel tax and motor vehicle revenue has gone up. Now, motor vehicle revenue includes your registrations, your license plates, all the other little fees that you have to pay in order to drive a vehicle. That motor vehicle revenue does not come back to the locals at all. All we get is a share of the motor fuel tax. So even though the total revenue has continued to climb in the state, a lot of that money is going to all kinds of different funds, whether it's the state police or it's a motorcycle fund or it's a boating fund or, you know, all kinds of different funds. So you'll see that Basically, we peaked out at about 2,000 as the local road share of the motor fuel tax revenue. It was flat, and now it's obviously declining again through 2010. 2011 is the last year that this this little bar chart shows.
Well, it seems that we're losing people. Texas is getting all out. That's one state getting a lot out of folks. They're leaving Illinois.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
That could be a
piece I have of a friend thing. Down there, and that boy, he said, boy, Illinois folks, Florida and Texas is eating us up.
Okay, Maxwell.
The other thing that Jeff didn't mention that may not be a factor, but, and you, Lloyd kind of just touched on it, is some of the bigger counties are growing, like up north. If they're growing faster than we are, that will,
right,
the silly formula,
right,
it will take money away from,
right,
us.
So, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the motor fuel tax money is distributed to the counties 100% based on the number of registered motor vehicles in your county. So if our registered motor vehicles don't stay at pace with the collar counties, they start getting more money and we start getting less money.
Which a lot of my campus are not.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the cars that are using our roads are registered somewhere else. Mm-hmm. When you talk about students, there's no doubt about that. But they're still using our roads.
You've got to start paying those students to register their vehicles down here. It saves them on their, saves them on their car insurance, too.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a campaign.
Yeah, but they vote here.
So we set up a motor vehicle registration booth right next to the voting booth.
Absolutely.
Booth.
Change your address.
About 3 weeks. And then you'll get then you'll get 8 students doing that.
Good idea.
Yeah. In one, in one of my precincts, there was a vote at the last election, 8 votes.
Really?
Yeah, 8 votes. I got 6 of them, but there were 8 votes.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, every little bit.
They're related to him.
Okay, Richard.
So, Jeff, you said how much money we have for the, yeah, the local match. How much money do we would do we need, or would you like to have?
Well, let's look at
more.
Let's look at the next spreadsheet, because those answers, or at least some of the questions within your question, are in that next spreadsheet. Since 2007, we've got a number of projects here, 8 projects, including the one coming up in a couple of years on County Road 1, which have been federal shared projects. And a number of these projects, including Curtis Road, the County Road 18, which is Monticello Road, County Road 1, which is Dewey Fisher Road, those are all not your standard federal projects. We've been getting highway safety improvement money. We've been getting truck access route program money, which is called TARP money. But we've totaled just in federal money. This is not the cost of the project. This is the federal money that we have in those projects, $14 million for roads. And on the next sheet, you know, we're at $6 million, so we're at about $20 million since 2007 on roads. Now the match of that is 20%, right? So minimum match for those is about $5 million. All that money's been coming from the motor fuel tax fund because we don't have any other revenue source with which to. And my here's a scare tactic that scares me is, I've done a good job at getting these types of dollars into Champaign County. And I want to pass around the spreadsheet here, if you would take one and pass along. That shows just specifically the Dewey Fisher Road in Champaign County, which is programmed for this year, for 2014, more likely to go into 2015, where we've received TARP money in the amount of $900,000. We've received STR money, $2.2 million. We've received HSIP money, $855,000. And then to make up the balance of the project, we need $2.2 million in motor fuel tax funding to make that project work. At some point in the not too distant future, there's going to be a sad day where I won't be able to apply for these funds because we won't have the matching funds to match them. And this happens a lot in the townships. There's a lot of township bridges that are in critical shape, And even though the townships only pay 10% of the total cost of their project, there's a number of them that say, you know, they have to bank their money for 5 to 10 years before they can build a project. I don't want us to get to the point where there's HSIP money out there, there's ITEP money out there, there's whatever funds the feds come up with, and I say I can't apply for those because I don't have the matching money to be able to do a project. So we sit idle and don't get what I think we should be getting, which is, you know, these $20 million that we've got over the last.
And so these are federal rules on the local match?
Yes. It's 20% minimum. But obviously you can see on, like, the Dewey Fisher Road, we're at a lot higher than 20%, just simply because that's the total cost of the project. This is the amount of money I can get from outside sources, so we've got to have the money to be able to make up that gap.
Does IDOT or the UBD CEO ever chip in to help these guys meet their local match? Because I know there are times, not for roads, but that, I mean, state money counts for the local match. So the
right.
State will. There are projects where they will help people cover local matches on things.
High-profile projects, Olympian Drive, we're getting matching money through the Illinois Jobs Now money. But when you're talking about County Road 6, mm-hmm. which carries 650 vehicles a day, and Mike Fredericks and Naomi Jacobson and whoever else is represented has no idea where that road is, and it's not high profile, mm-hmm. there's very little chance for us to get something from a, you know, some kind of special revenue source in order to pay for those projects, even though they're very important to us and very important to our economic viability in the county. You know, the county roads are not really high-profile types of roads because they link, you know, Dewey to Fisher and they link Homer to Sydney. They're not big-time projects in the urbanized area. So it's very unlikely that we'll, you know, the TARP money actually that you see on the Dewey-Fisher Road is, it's state money. You have to apply for it. But since we have the amount of truck traffic that we have on Dewey Fisher Road, we were able to get $900,000 in that money. And that's a special application. But there again, you know, if we didn't have the motor fuel tax money to match all these other sources, then this project, and I don't know if anybody's driven the Dewey Fisher Road lately. It's narrow. I mean, you drive it now, you feel like you're driving in a tunnel of corn, which I like corn. It's good for our economic viability.
And it's
but,
really always good.
You know, you're driving down the bumpy road, there's no shoulders, and there's corn about, it seems like you reach out your window and hit it. And, you know, when you're talking about 5,000 vehicles a day, that doesn't do it very well for our traveling public, not only for, you know, the smoothness of the road, but the HSIP money goes towards the safety of the roadway, the narrow shoulders, the narrow lanes, the intersections that come in that you have trouble seeing until you get out onto the roadway. to be honest with you, I would like to see the number that we would have had the fund continued to grow. I know that's not reasonable or logical to ask for that much money. What I would like to see is some money put into that, whether it be $50,000 or $100,000, and then allow that to grow under the normal type of revenue, you know, that we get based on Deb's PTEL calculations. Get something back in there. Right now, it's just at its minimum. It's got $7,000 a year or whatever the number is this year. But we've got $3 to $4 million left in the motor fuel tax fund right now. A lot of it's going to be taken up by this Dewey Fisher Road. We've got $1.1 million going into the Lincoln Avenue project. Literally in 3 to 4 years, we're going to be living off of the year's revenue in which we're receiving it, and we won't have any money to be able to apply for large projects like this. So if I was going to do this project 5 years from now, I wouldn't be doing anything this year because I would have to do that project next year. And not only do we not want to do that, but contractors hate that. They want to see projects year to year because they got to employ their forces. They got to keep people going. If there's, you know, the big boon and then the bust, they're hiring people and then they're laying them off. And I know we're a small player, although is with the money that IDOT's getting, we're getting to be a bigger and bigger player in the game of road and bridge construction. But, you know, we are those projects that the local contractors like to get because they're right here. Their guys don't have to travel anywhere, stay in hotels. They can do the projects, and they're, you know, it's something for them to be proud of when they drive down the roadway. So, let's see if there was... You know, and if you just look at the map that I've shown you, this comes straight out of our pavement management system. where the PCI value is basically the pavement condition index. Right after you build a new road, it's somewhere between 95 and 100, and then it deteriorates over time. And this colored index down here shows that we would like to have everything above a 60. We'd like to see everything green and blue. We're shooting for an average in Champaign County of 70. And we've been able to keep above that number, but you'll see a number of roadways in the yellow, some in the orange, and some in the red. Now, the County Road 22 project up in the top right corner, that project just got completed this year, so that one will actually turn to blue in the next pavement condition rating. County Road 1, which we were talking about, the Dewey Fisher Road coming out North Mattis, you know, that one, once we get this project built, will be back into a good condition. But we got the road going from going up to Elliott, County Road 23. Mm-hmm. That's in horrible condition. Mm-hmm. We've got these roadways that we took over from the state going from 45 over to Philo, over to Sydney, and over to Homer, which are continuing to deteriorate because they basically only gave us enough money to do a thin mill and an overlay, which wasn't the appropriate treatment for those roadways. So we've got some major roadways with some big traffic coming up in the next few years. If you go from 45 all the way over to Homer, you're looking at, you know, 15 miles plus there. You got County Road 25, which is Staley Road, big traffic generator for us that's down in that 40 to 60 PCI range. We're going to do County Road 1, but you got County Road 23 up on top, which carries over 1,000 vehicles a day. It's used for a shortcut to go up north. That's really, really needs some work. So I'd like to get something in there to start building that fund back up. Are we going to die tomorrow? No, but 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to be living, you know, hand to mouth. We're not going to have any money with which to apply for these types of projects anymore.
Okay, Jim?
Well, I guess that's what I was going to say. It sounds like you can better manage your ability to access other revenue for the county,
right,
if you have those funds available. And the prudent thing to do, which the government doesn't, we don't do as a government very well sometimes, is to start now, having that money available.
Okay, Alan.
Matt, I think there's no doubt it would be good to have that revenue. I mean, I've made this speech so many times, I'm tired of making it, but, you know, health insurance costs go up 10 or 15% a year. When tax caps were passed, diesel fuel cost $1 a gallon.
Right.
Clearly, that's gone up faster than the rate of inflation. So, like, all the costs we can't control have gone up faster than the tax cap rate has gone up.
Yeah.
So, by implementing that, we've essentially guaranteed that we're going to shortchange infrastructure, we're going to shortchange operations. I mean, every year we're going to spend more on the stuff we don't want to spend money on and less on fixing the roads and serving the people. So I think, I mean, that's a foreseeable, unfortunate consequence of tax caps. I mean, my understanding is, I'll ask Deb to confirm this, is that, I mean, if we increase this levy, that falls under the overall county tax levy, so we got to cut something else. So I think if you're supportive of this, you know, getting this tax levy back, which I am, incidentally, personally, you know, as we go through the budget process, I think the thing to do is figure out where we're going to get that money from somewhere else. And I don't know if that can happen this year or next year or what, but we need to, I mean, if we as a committee and can convince the board that this is the direction we want to go, then we got to find the money. But it's not a case of just you know, voting to, I mean, I think when you talk about, you know, raising taxes, this is a pretty good thing to raise taxes on, because I think people go out there and drive down the roads and see, wow, I really like this road to be fixed. I mean, there aren't too many things the county has to do, and maintaining the infrastructure is one of the things we have to do. So, you know, if I could snap my fingers and make that levy appear again, I'd be happy to impose that on the citizens of Champaign County. But in order to do that, you know, essentially we've got to find some other service we're providing that we cut.
Well, the highway department, I don't know how it all and what departments pay for what, but until 3 or so years ago, the highway department's highway fund was not paying for Social Security for our employees.
Another thing that's gone up faster.
Right.
I mean, the reason we did that is because we don't have the money to pay for it on the county budget, right? The pot is getting smaller.
Right. And then this year, I was talking to John about this prior to the meeting. The early retirement obligation to IMRF, the bond that the county sold, is being paid off. And that $84,000 that I was paying per year now is going to be shifted so that we start paying part of our ongoing IMRF. So,
and there's no doubt we're spending less and less on highways.
Right.
More and more on expense.
Than we have in the past. I mean, as the other costs, these sort of parasitic costs, right?
Right.
Healthcare and retirement and fuel and so forth all go up.
Yeah.
We're losing ground on the highway funding.
We're living within our means, and I talked to Deb about this. You know, I'm not asking for money in the highway fund to fund personnel and to fund fuel and to fund equipment purchases. We're living within our means in that budget arena. It's the highway construction and keeping up with the infrastructure that we're struggling with. My feeling is you put more money into the highway fund, and that just goes to stuff, right? You build more buildings, you buy more trucks, you hire more people. That's not my intent. My intent is to use this money to build roads, strictly. That's the only thing the money can be used for, is to build more roads.
Well, have you figured out how we will go about raising this levy?
That's up to the board. I mean, I don't have any revenue source with which to pay this money. It has to fall underneath the total tax gaps that the board works under.
Okay,
I have a question again, back to the numbers here, Jeff. I'm looking at this, and you've given us the federal funds for roads and bridges, and both are missing funds for 14, and one is for 13. Did we just not get anything for roads in 13 and 14? We don't anticipate?
Under the federal funds, you mean?
Yeah.
We don't build a federal aid project every year.
Okay, so this is only because we had project, because it almost looked like it was consistent, and I thought, well, shoot, I wonder why we didn't get anything, or maybe we're waiting to see if we're going to get something.
These are project specific. Okay. I mean, look at County Road 1 in 2015. That's a large sum. So even on the federal aid side, the money that comes to us in a formula distribution, we tend to hold on to that for a year or two to build up the pot, because, honestly, it costs a lot more money to build a project with federal money than it does with motor fuel tax, because there's a lot more rules that you have to play by, being that you're using federal money.
And then if you're going to use this for something, you might reverse the years on this.
What's that?
If you're going to use this to be an example, you might want to reverse the 2 years on
that. Oh, okay. Yep.
But I just wondered if we just didn't get anything or nothing playing.
Like I said, we don't do a federal project every year. I would love to, but
we catch it up.
Look that way.
We catch it up sometimes.
We haven't skipped a year in building a project since I've been here, but we definitely haven't built a federal aid project every year.
Okay, Gary, did you have some input you want to give?
I appreciate what Jeff has put into this, and the fact that what he's proposing to do is that, like he told you, this can only be used for new construction and building roads. It can't be used for stuff. And I know even his own other funds, he's going to run into some problems down the road. But I think it's what comes to the point the board needs to talk about some of the priorities. I think it could easily be done I shouldn't use the word easily, but I think it could be done over a 2 or 3 year period of time to get up to a certain amount of money, and then from that point in time, just let it grow. What I was proposing and suggested is that we try to get 0.5 cent. That's only 10% of what legally the board could have levied had they done it prior to tax pay. So, and that would bring in about $200,000. And if it's done as part of the new growth over a period of years, and I realize there are other, we have other strains. We have some tension between highway money and tension between the need to set aside some facility money. I recognize those things. And I recognize we only have a certain amount of new growth each year. So I think the board, my suggestion would be the board take a look at its priorities and try to set aside a small amount of the growth each year. We normally get a growth of around $400,000 or $500,000 a year. I don't know, Deb, is that including the growth in the property tax plus the sales tax and other revenues, or is it just the growth in the amount of money that we can levy through property tax?
For this fund or for all funds?
For all funds, all county corporate, the entire package, our new growth each year.
The property tax growth is probably in the $400,000 range, but that's 14 different taxes.
I understand, but they're all within the, juggling within those tax gaps.
10 of them are within the aggregate from which you can reappropriate funds, greater than or not.
Okay. So that would be my suggestion. Try to get a small amount of the new growth each year until you get up to a certain levy, and then just leave it alone and let it net, that, from that point forward grow.
If I could, this is what in the budget process we do for the general corporate fund departments, because they have to buy the county board for funding. They present operational change requests if there is new funding being requested. These are highway funds. I think this is a very similar initiative we're talking about. And so I would recommend that the highway department, if the highway committee would direct it, present a request with the budget request for what you would like to see in fiscal year 2014. That way, the finance committee as a whole has something concrete to evaluate. When you talk about prioritization at the September meeting, they're going to have to look at all of those requests. So I would recommend that the committee, you know, document what it is you want to ask for, have Jeff present that as part of the budget, and then the finance committee can look at it in September.
Okay, Jim.
We're setting this up as a request. I mean, now, is that the rest of what you're going to ask for? I mean, this is something that you kind of feel like you're a direction that you want to go in. I mean, we're going to...
Yeah, my highway fund and my bridge fund is just, we're just using natural growth. We're not asking for any additional.
Okay.
As we've always asked for the last 10 years.
It seems like you're coming to us and saying, okay, this is something I want too, but if us as a committee add this on, I don't want to be something that we're giving you guidance on that's making it difficult for you.
Yeah, you have to look at it too. I don't care what energy you have. When your funding starts declining, you ain't got no budget. You have to budget around what you get. And this is the problem. And Illinois is losing a lot of motor vehicles because people are leaving it. When you got small towns that the jobs go, the people go. So that creates a problem. Now, if you look around in the area around Homer and these places, those people don't have jobs, so they leave. And your motor fuel tax leaves because they're not driving no cars. So you got to look at that. That's why you so it come for funding.
Hey, Alex?
I think Deb's approach is probably what we should do. I mean, we should let the board in the budget process, we should be able to compare this with the other requests, because we know there's going to be facilities requests. We talk about reestablishing the capital reserve for capital replacement fund for facilities. I don't see anything else, but I'm sure everybody's going to be in there with something they want. It may well be that I think most of that $400,000 is probably going to be eaten up by the health insurance premium gouge that we're about to get based on what we're seeing in the health insurance committee. But, you know, to the extent we can, I think during the budget process, we got to decide what we want to accommodate. And I mean, philosophically, I'm in favor of this. I mean, like I said, if we could, I would. So I think we ought to put in the request and let the full board, you know, shout about it.
Can he make a motion to that?
Does it mean to be more defined? Does it have
to be?
You got to have to be in that bad.
So I would move to direct a county engineer to submit an operational change request as part of the 2014 budget to increase the federal match tax levy by, you want to say half a cent here? We got to have something to.
That would be a little high. I think you need to take a look at specific projects if you could, but my suggestion would be to try to get the half a cent over a 2 to 3 year period of time, which was basically at this point in time would be $200,000. If you could, you know, have a long-range goal to do that, but possibly start out with a lesser number, maybe between 70, around 70,000 or something along those lines.
Okay.
But that's your call, Jeff.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll leave that up to Jeff.
Okay. So for discussion from anybody?
I can't guarantee that means the board's going to go for it.
I understand. Yeah. Well, we get a second to his motion.
John, if you have.
Yeah, I want to have my cake and eat it too. I've got some really, really serious concerns because I think the highway department's headed for some really serious problems in the future. Not right away, but I think because of lack of funds. But I also, by virtue, call it a conflict of interest if you like, but serving on the facilities committee, for the first time, it looked like there was a little gap that we might be able to start putting some money away to take care of our facilities. I hate to see these two competing with one another, mm-hmm. but quite frankly, that's what ended up happening. And so I think we need to keep that into perspective when we're trying to figure out what's fair for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think that'll happen, too. But there'll be a lot of discussion about how the budget's going to be spent, because that $400,000 is probably going to be spent about 10 times before we get to the budget.
May already have been.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. Deb, when we took the money out, we cut the levy for the highway department to raise the levy somewhere else. So now, will we cut the levy somewhere else to raise?
You absolutely have to. You have to cut another levy in order to increase.
We still have to go by the state guidelines, too, y'all. We just can't do everything we want to do. Mm-hmm. We got to go by what the big boys said right now. You get the money pocket, y'all got to turn loose some money so somebody can work. You get some gas money. That's the problem. You got these dudes sitting up there on the pot of money because they got a grudge against. That's what's hurting us, and it needs to be turned loose.
That's what's hurting us on the state side. No doubt about it.
I'll be discussing that in other business.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Thank you. Last item I have is Coloma Township Bridge Petition Resolution.
I'm sorry. I'm sure if I get interrupted. I think you can go ahead and do that. I don't think we need to, this doesn't need to go to the full board, right? Okay. Just want to make sure we get time.
Yeah, since they had the committee to request
okay.
that you do that.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Right now, the rules.
We've got a petition from Brad Clemens from Coloma Township to replace a bridge. You'll see on the very back page of your agenda packet where the bridge is located. That's actually Duncan Road. It's a similar size bridge to the one we just awarded. So I'm putting in a petition for roughly $250,000 for that project, and I would ask for your approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Open for discussion.
It's me. Sorry. We're talking about money. As I'm looking at this, and the $250,000, that sounds reasonable, all that. But I'm wondering, it says that Tolono Road District will pay 10% of the construction and 50% of the engineering cost. So how much do you think is going to end up being our portion of this?
Our portion of it?
Yeah, like the county portion, like
$250,000.
Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Thank you.
10% would be about $25,000.
Right.
So we have $25,000 in the construction. Tolono has $25,000. Right. Then when you put in the preliminary engineering as well as our cost to oversee the project and our engineering cost, it's roughly about $50,000.
Okay, that's where I wondered how much that would be. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Gary? Max? Max?
I'm sorry to talk as much as I have. Engineering. Have you selected the engineer yet?
No. Have not.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
That's all I have.
Okay. So we designated for...
Just
the Tolono?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. I'll go on the consent agenda. Okay, other business, Al?
Yeah, I just wanted to update everybody on what Jeff and I are doing concerning the IDOT highway funds. Just as you know from the beginning, the discrepancy was vast. Our district was considered last, but last by so much that the discrepancy was so obvious. Yeah. The tune of about $175 million between us and the neighboring district. So we shot out a letter that Jeff and I penned to IDOT. Well, we waited a while for them to respond. I sent it out to every elected official in our district that has concerns with the highways. And I did get back a couple of phone calls from Senator Barrickman and a few others who had put some pressure on them. And we got back a letter about 2 weeks ago. This letter, if you look at it, and since we're being recorded, I won't be as frank about what we thought of the letter, but there was a lot of double talk. A lot of it didn't make sense.
The letter was from IDOT.
This is from IDOT, coming back from the Secretary Schneider's office, answering our question of what criteria did you use? What did you formulate this $175 million difference on? And so they sent us back a letter, a page and a half of what I thought was gobbledygook in half of it. And they sent us back their criteria and their numbers as to what they did. So I sat down with Jeff, and we said, Jeff, this doesn't seem to make any sense. And he says, Al, it doesn't seem to make any sense. So we sat down and we recalculated the criteria based on their numbers. And based on their numbers, we were not last. We were 7th out of the 9 districts.
Right.
So if we're 7th out of the 9 districts, why are we short $175 million next to the closest district to us? And so Jeff and I, we sat down and we looked it over and we said, all right, we've got to, I'm not going to let this stand. So 2 weeks ago, it's about 2 weeks now, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we penned another letter, which I have mailed with the criteria out to every single board member, trying to keep you updated onto this communication that's going on between us. In that letter, we stated that based on their own mathematics and their own criteria, we should not be the last in the state, in this district. And so we shot that letter back. We sent out a letter to each of you so you knew where we were going, and it's been silent. You haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything. It's been about 2 weeks now. I'm waiting a little bit longer, and if I don't hear back, at least the fact that they received the letter and are working on it because they tend not to communicate with us very easily, I'm going to start calling some of our representatives to put more pressure on them. And I have a list of every single representative across our district, which encounters six counties. So there are a number of representatives that are concerned about what happens with their highways. And since we have five major interstates going through this district, we really need that. Because Jeff and I, Jeff figured that in a few, we're going to run out of money. There's no way we can keep all these highways safe and in good condition at a 70%, hopefully it's a 70% rate. So I'm not going to let go of this until we get a check.
A cashier's
check for about $175 million. And then maybe we could put it into some of our local, maybe we can move it around a little. But that's where we stand right now, and we're waiting for a response from the state.
Lorraine.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? And maybe Jeff can help me. At what point in time, maybe you've already done it, what point in time would it be productive to release all these letters to the news media?
That's a political issue. And
I would wait to see what this answer is to our response to their letter. We're compiling this record of conversations and communication, and if we can get them to make a decision based on the actual criteria that puts where it puts us, then we may not have to go to the papers. But if we start seeing that this is more political, then we might very well do that. But at this point, I'm not ready to bring in the newspapers.
Right. Jeff, a response to that, Gary, is not direct response to that, but on October the 2nd is going to be District 5's IDOT outreach meeting in Champaign County.
Okay.
They just scheduled that. Right now, it's supposed to happen right here in this room. That may change between now and then. They might move it to a different venue. But they've asked me to
like
use
Afghanistan.
This room October 2nd for their outreach meeting.
Now, that would be a great time.
Yes.
By that time, we should have everything back. Mm-hmm. And if we're not satisfied, we bring it out in the public. Okay. I think that's the way we need to go. And that would be a great venue.
The one thing that I don't want to do, Gary and Alan and I have talked about this, is point the finger at District 5, because this really isn't their fault. This is Springfield's fault.
Right.
I think District 5 is doing a good job with what they get.
Exactly.
They're just not getting enough. And, you know, they...
They're dictated to.
Right.
Paris is dictated to by the state, and they won't budge one inch beyond what the state directs them to do. From what we hear, and I'm going to put this on the record, is that the state gives them the number to work with rather than Paris giving them the number that they know is necessary for the district, and they have to work within those parameters, and they will not go beyond what the state has dictated to them.
That's correct.
Okay. So I just want that on the record.
Yeah, Alex.
Well, I'm going to go even farther than that. The guys on Dirksen Boulevard do what the legislature and the governor tell them to do. This is Illinois.
Right.
We know how Illinois works. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So you're on the right track. You're on the wrong track with IDOT. You're on the right track with the legislatures. You know, tell these guys to start squeaking.
Right. That's my next step.
And there's been two meetings with Transportation for Illinois Coalition, one with Naomi Jacobson and one with Mike Ferricks in the last week, and I've attended both of those. And not only have we talked about the overall funding of the state, but this issue has come up as well.
Okay.
And my understanding is that Senator Rose is going to be having a meeting in August to talk about the 5774 interchange and that whole $60 million thing that we gave back a few
years
ago.
That's right.
So I think that's a big part of it, to be honest with
you. That's what it was.
I've heard from the legislators that he gave back $60 million bucks. He said you didn't need it. And when you give back money, we tend not to give you a heck of a lot more. So that's been a big talk around this discussion.
Because we were fiscally responsible, huh?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we could have used the $60 million for other projects that would have been...
Could have used it for anything.
For a lot of things. But, you know, the way the state runs.
Yeah.
I was involved in discussion recently with Rose and that whole comment about the interchange. And the interchange was never a part of that. My Mahomet to Champaign change. It was the road, and it popped up. And I was going to ask you about that because it seemed like during that discussion, Chapin said that it was never part of the plan, and all of a sudden it pops up as something that was going to be built. And with all the roads that were going to be built at that time and bridges that were going to be replaced, or actually bridges in other parts of that area, in Coles County, different areas, that were completely out. And his contention was those needed to be replaced rather than the interstate being done. And that really what happened was is that and the whole program was being pushed forward of replacing and doing all this work, and that the interstate did pass and was signed to be constructed between Montana and Champaign, but it was never implemented. And whoever decided not to do it wasn't that Champaign said, we don't want it. I mean, there was some, okay, if there's only $60 million, and there was only $60 million to be spent, that we had all these other bridges and roads that were completely deteriorated that needed to be done rather than this interstate, but there was a finite amount of money. Right. And so, and what ended up happening in the end, you know, some of it or none of it ever got completed.
Right.
So
you didn't see a $60 million bump in the District 5 funding that year.
Right.
In Coles County, I mean, that's probably, Coles isn't even in District 5 anymore. It used to be.
I think they're trying to get rid of five.
So no one really said,
squeezing us,
we don't want $60 million. But I did have a question. Is this meeting you're talking about, the one we talked about before, where all the legislators get together and try to talk, bring in director and is that still, because it goes along with the discussion of trying to get legislators to...
Bill Volk is trying to get Secretary Schneider back to Champaign. She's supposed to have been here twice. She's canceled both times. They're trying to get another one set up possibly in September, whether that'll come to fruition or not. But the meeting I was talking about on October 2nd is District 5 people bringing their five-year program to the different counties and saying, this is what our plan is for the next 5 years. Okay. And it's a public input meeting. Whether that public input is falling on deaf ears or not, I don't know.
I don't think it is on that energy. I think the trades are pretty upset about what's going on with the funding, too, and they're putting pressure.
And they've been at those meetings with Jacobson for two.
Last comment is, as far as the 57-74 interchange, have you heard that a study of that interchange is actually coming up on the radar?
They're doing it right now.
Okay, Lord. Yeah. Your state is in worse shape for money than you. We're almost broke, I'm telling you. This state is in bad shape. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have a sheet of that. All the big projects is not going on. And I know you have a list. Because where's the job been? They're not going to turn no money loose until that stuff. And we're hurting. We're sitting here hurting because of that. Now, when the money, I done told y'all, when the money starts, when they turn the money loose, we're going to be living better. But until then, we're going to suffer. And that's the bottom line.
Okay, back in your corner, Al.
What's that?
It's back in your corner.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm not going to let go of the issue until we get a definitive answer as to the true meaning of why we're constantly discriminated against here. The discrepancies are just way, way too
far apart
for it to be anything other than either political or some guy's got a grudge against us up there for whatever reason, and they just they're putting the screws to us every time. Now, this is not something new. This thing has been going on for how many years? At least 10 years. And so I don't know if anybody's done any, taken any action before, but we've got to stand up for ourselves here. And we can't just allow them to dictate to us some false criteria that puts us into a terrible hole when it comes to state funding. If they're going to fund the next closest district to us, by $175 million more, they better have a really good reason. And their reasons don't make any sense to us, especially when we recalculated their own criteria and used their math, to figure out that we were number seven and not number nine, and the number seven guy or the number eight guy got $332 million, and we got $175. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And because of that, I'm just not going to let go of the issue until we get a definitive answer or, you know, squeeze them until they come up with more money for us.
It's not going to be about the highway funding, but... yes, but since we do have the chairman here, and we're now in the budget process period, the chancellor's been going out and making some presentations to the business community, and I'm just curious if it would be a good time that the chancellor could come and maybe do a short presentation to the county board about the future of the university and the growth that the university is going to have, because that's really going to impact county government. And I think that if we can put those together, maybe go on record as far as what she's looking for. That's the number one employer in the county, and we talk about jobs. You know, they're the ones who are going to be bringing jobs. But if she could come in just, you know, 15 minutes and...
Shoot me an email on what your parameters are, what you're looking for, Max, and we'll put it together. I certainly don't see anything wrong with inviting her to come. We are the county.
Yeah.
They live in this county, and they need our cooperation for, you know, down the road, just like they cooperate with the city.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she's a very affable. I've met her a couple of times, and I think she's doing a pretty good job over there, and they seem to like her, and there seems to be a good rapport between her and Easter and the rest of the campuses. So I would think that's a pretty good idea.
Okay, great.
And I'll pick it.
Well, the university, they go to hold their own. I don't have no problem. They go to hold their own. We need jobs, man. Community jobs. We need road jobs, building the bridges and the highway.
Well, but you got to listen to what she her.
I know. I've been dealing with it. Hey, I've been dealing with the university for years.
But she's talking about the community. She's talking about increasing the population by about 50,000. So if she.
What your job?
That's the point. Is we've got to figure out how everybody gets to where they would like for us to go. They're the number one employer, and if we can figure out what takes place,
what they going to be employing? That's what I'm saying.
Well, they're looking at things outside of the just simply education. They want to have 50,000 more residents in our community or our area.
Well, then you have too much control. I'm going to tell you.
Well.
No, I mean, look. Old Lord been dealing with the university, man. I know.
He's got a good point.
And when they control you, they control you, buddy. I'm telling you.
But we've got to figure out a way to work together.
I'm just telling you. I'm being honest with you.
There is a certain truth in what Lloyd has just said.
That's right.
And I can tell you, attest to that because of the negotiations going on with the airport. Okay.
You got the breeze.
Yeah, you know, they would rather see that thing turn into cornfields, you know, because if they don't want to lose control. They don't want to lose control.
Right.
And he's got a good point.
I know. Look, man, I've been dealing with the guys. I know what they do.
Sorry to prolong this, but I think what Max is getting at is the university's got an initiative now to try to encourage development of more businesses to relocate here to take advantage of the university services, things like the research
and all
things like that. So they're trying to bring, you know, companies. They're going to create high-paying jobs. Companies are going to pay property tax. Now, I don't know how successful they're going to be, given this is not the first time this has been tried. But I think it's worth hearing what they have to say. I think it does have implications. They are successful. It certainly does have implications to the county in terms of the need for additional infrastructure, but also in terms of additional revenue. So, you know, Al, your comment about the airport, I mean, it's apropos because this really factors into that, right? One of the university's concerns is
more businesses that are in.
Bring in more business, right. Bring in high-tech business. You get both. Got to have the airport right. In order to attract in the first place, but the more we have, the more likely you are to be able to support the airport. So
exactly.
I think that the intentions are good here.
No,
trying
not,
to bring,
it's a good
it's
idea.
Not, you know, we want to add 50,000 people.
They go whole
we
hell.
Want to
add,
we want to bring
in
some employers.
Give me a little of some of the parameters you want to discuss with us.
I think it's a good initiative on their part. I tend to be skeptic. You know, I'm one of the few people in this community who doesn't work for the university, so you know, I look at them with kind of a jaundiced eye. But I think they're, you know, I think they're on a
their premise is their premise
is
positive anyway. Yeah. You know.
I don't hate them or nothing, but I'm just telling you the truth how they operate.
Well, my son's an alumni, so I got
to
be careful.
Well, I don't hate them either. I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt and work together and try to have a
good relationship. It certainly can't hurt. They are a major player. Without a doubt, they're the major player.
They're going to be there.
Well,
you never count them out. They're going to be there. And see, that's the reason they stopped at university. And I'm not bragging. I was on the Economic Development Board, I think, when it first came. And that was one decision we made.
67. That's
yeah. Right. If you look on there, you probably see my name. And that's the reason we made a deal with them. Stop at the university.
Yep.
Street. No, Street of University. Stay south of there because we want a neighborhood.
Sure.
That's right.
I think university sometimes speaks out of both sides of the mouth at the same time, though, because quite frankly, they took the engineering department trying to take it and move it up to Chicago. That's certainly not doing us any
Those are things that we can put on the table. You know,
I would respond to rocket science.
Well, I know, but you know,
it's engineering.
I think sometimes we need to be careful that, you know, we need to fix what we've got to fix too before we start, you know, making commitments or rolling into other groups at this point too. Not that it's not worth hearing, but I'm just saying in general. You kind of look in your own house first before you start working on somebody else's.
I've been working on that St. James.
I tried to push the tires, but I just figured I'd get caught.
Okay. I forgot a motion over here to adjourn.
Second.
All right. I'll say everything. Not to be there.
Chris, you got a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Just pull that money right out of your hat.
There's one letter that fits in.
You enjoying retirement, or you think you maybe you remember your retirement?
Retirement is what everybody said it was, but it isn't as bad, but it is.